Okay, so we're in Daf Mem Tet tonight. So I'm going to begin on Mem Chet Amud Beis, around 17 lines from the bottom, where it says Rabbi Kiva Omer. The last two words online are Rabbi Kiva Omer, page 96, 48b, 17 lines from the bottom. Okay, so if you remember, the Gemara has been discussing learning from the Pesukim by Nazir and by the Kohen Gadol. They're each prohibited from becoming Tame to relatives or to anybody, and different limudim, how they can be Tame to make mitzvah and other dinim. So the Gemara had limudim based on the Tana Rabbi Shmuel. Now we're going to learn how to see how the Tana Rabbi Akiva learns it. So Rabbi Akiva Omer, now here the Bach corrects it. The Bach has Al Nefesh. He's talking about the Nazir. He says, Then there's retard. Wait. Let me get the pasuk out. 1 second. It says, right. It says, "Kui me hazirul Hashem al nefesh meit lo yavo." Al nefesh meit lo yavo. So that's the way the Bach learns it. Al nefesh meit lo yavo. So nefesh elu harachokim. So nefesh, the way Rabbi Akiva learns, those are the people who are not closely related to the person. May elu hakrovim. So he learns, Rabbi Akiva does, 17 lines in the bottom, Rabbi Akiva learns that from the first phrase, I know that the Nazir can't be metame to anybody. La vivli mo, now what the next phrase, la vivli mo, he can't be metame to his father and mother, but I know already he can. La vivli mo in a metame, about metame hu lemeit mitzvah. He can't be metame to his father or mother, but for a meit mitzvah, he could be metame. That's a body that's lying that nobody'd bury it. Then the next term is la'achiv. Now he's changing the fact pattern. He's not just a nazir, but even as a nazir and a kohen gadol in the same person, la'achiv eino metame, abo metame hu lemeit mitzvah. So even not just a nazir is metame for meit mitzvah, but even a nazir and a kohen gadol can be metame for meit mitzvah. Then la'achoto, the next phrase, a word is la'achoto. So kiddetanya, and this he had the brisa earlier. So here he's learning, did not by a nazir, but just right. If anybody is going to shecht his korban pesach, which is a mitzvah, if you don't do it, it's only two mitzvahs in the Torah that you're a chayav karet if you don't fulfill it, and that's korban pesach and bris milah. So here he's going to shecht korban pesach or to give a bris to his son, and then he hears that his sister died or something like that. So he goes, he'll do the mitzvah. But for mate mitzvah, that he'll be metame. So we got a lot with mate mitzvah so far. Okay, welcome, Mayor. Okay, so we're around 10 lines from the bottom on Mem Tenemud Beis. Okay, so Ulu Rabbi Akiva, Zerushavad the Rabbi Menalik. So now the Gemara says, if you remember in the previous Gemara, the Tana Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi had learned, we're on Mem Tenemud Beis. So Rebbe had learned, this was on Mem Tenemud Aleph, Rebbe learned to Gzeir Shava. It said, Imo, he says that, Bomotami no Matame, Bomotami hu l'nigam l'zivatam, that the Nazir can't be Matame when his mother or father is dead, but he could be Matame if either one of them have Tsaras. So the Tsara is an Abatuma, he could be Matame for that, or they're Zavim or Zavot. You can tell me for that. So it says, so I'm learning, connecting, it's like a telephone line. It has aim by the Nazir and aim by the Kohen Gadol. I'm learning by both those situations. Now, this, I was listening a little bit to Rabbi Simon Wolf today. So according to Tan, Rabbi Shmuel has to be mufna on both ends. But we'll see, according to Rabbi Akiva, it just has to be mufna on one side. Mufna means superfluous, extra one side. So we know the Nazir side, Rabbi Akiva has used up the word aim already. Yilavi b'limo, he used up already. So back in the Gemara, so we're around 10 lines from the bottom on Mem Tenemud Beis. So he says, Rabbi Akiva, Gzeir Shava, the Rebbe Menalei. So how does Rabbi Akiva learn the Gzeir Shava? Amar Lach, so Rabbi Akiva would say to you, came into Amar Mar, Imiyat Kohen Gadol V'Nazir. So since we had said earlier, we're learning from the Pasuk by Nazir, that not only a Nazir can be Matami to make mitzvah, but even if it's a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol can be Matami to make mitzvah. So Lachive no Matami to make mitzvah, Mali Kohen Gadol Lechura, Mali Nazir Kohen Gadol. So if he's a Nazir Kohen Gadol, so certainly if he's just a Kohen Gadol, he could be Metame to make mitzvah. So he doesn't need, in other words, we're assuming that Rabbi Akiva, we assume, when he learns La'avi B'limo, we assume he'll learn the same way by Nazir, and the same way by the Kohen Gadol. So the way that Rabbi Akiva is learning La'avi B'limo is Metame, but Enum Metame to make mitzvah. But the Gemara says, but by the Kohen Gadol, I don't need it, because we had the later limud that was from La'achiv. La'achiv, if he was a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol, he can be metame to make mitzvah. So if I see a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol can be metame to make mitzvah, certainly a Kohen Gadol can be metame to make mitzvah. So the aim, so he doesn't need the aim by the Nazir, by the Kohen Gadol. He doesn't need the aim by the Kohen Gadol. So according to the Tan Rebbe Kiva, it just has to be mufta on one end. So he's got a Gzeira Shava, aim, and it'll be mufta, it'll be superfluous on the Kohen Gadol side, so he's okay with that. Now, five lines to the bottom on Mem Chenu Beis, Ulu Rabbi Shmuel, Kohen Gadol v'hu Nazir Manale. Where does the Tan Rebbe Shmuel learn that he was a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir? He can be metame to make mitzvah. So here is an interesting idea. Came into Shar Rachmana Tadlav, Gabi Meit Mitzvah, Mali Tadlav, Mali Train Lavin. So the Gemara says, according to Tan Rebbe Shmuel, and you know, somebody was talking to me in the Beis Medrash today about this, and you can ask on this. Rebbe Shmuel holds that once the Torah reveals to me the Meit Mitzvah is so important, so if he's a Nazir, pushes it aside. If he's a Kohen Gadol, pushes it aside. So intuitively, the Tan Rebbe Shmuel says, I would know that even if he's a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol, he can be metame to make mitzvah. Because the Torah is revealing to me that it's so important. The only thing is that sometimes in halakha, you know, frequently you have two lavim, it does make a difference. Like, you know, normally we say essays docha lo tasa, but if it's an essay and two lo tasas, maybe not. But here, within the town of Rabbi Shmuel, the Gemara wants to say that's the way he's going to learn. So now let's take a look back in the Gemara. He says, now, achoto lamali. So now, achoto, what will Rabbi Shmuel do with the term achoto? So, meaning like this, that if he's saying that Beit Mitzvah is so important, and it, in other words, overrides everything, so then certainly it's going to override, you know, you have to, you know, you're going to the Korban Pesach, or you're going to Bris Milah. So once I come into this idea that Beit Mitzvah is so important, so I know it'll override the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, or override the mitzvah of Bris Milah, to take care of the main mitzvah. So what do we need? So now, what do I need L'Achoto for, according to Rabbi Shmuel? L'Achoto would teach me that if he's going to, not a Nazir, not a Kohen Gadol, a regular person's going to bring his Korban Pesach, or and then his sister dies, and his sister, anybody else dies, but it can't be metamic for them, but if it's main mitzvah, they could. So he says, so Achoto Lamali, but if once I say main mitzvah is so important, it pushes away everything, whether it's one lav, two lavim, some masama, it pushes away even the chiyuv essay of Korban Pesach and Bris Milah. So Achoto Lamali, Sakada Chamina. So here the Gemara says, I would have thought, Shorachman of the main mitzvah, Nazir v'koin the Easter labehu. I would think that the Torah only permits main mitzvah, or to override everything, by the lavim of Nazir and a koin. This is a lav. Of a milu pesach to karet lo yitam on the main mitzvah. I would have thought that is a limit to how much we're going to go for it. If it's a chiv karet, not so kamash malan. So the kamash malan that every main mitzvah overrides everything. All right, now the top line. This is really today's daf. Now mem ted amar aleph the top line. Rabbi Akiva mifti lo shnat kohen gadol lechuda lo shnat kohen gadol b'hu nazir nafka mila achiv. Now, the Gemara just said a few moments before you came in there, the Gemara said Rabbi Akiva learned from the word la'achiv that even if he's a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol and there's a Meit Mitzvah, he's metame for the Meit Mitzvah. So the Gemara says la'avi b'limo lamali. Now, once I know that the Kohen Gadol can be metame to Meit Mitzvah, so what do I need to pasuk by the Kohen Gadol? He's going back to Sukim for Rabbi Akiva. In other words, we said Rabbi Akiva needs the emo, we said, to set up a Gzeir Shava. That we said he needs. And he's going to have one end for that. And that's going to be the Gzeir Shava that teaches me that you can be Metame, you know, whether he's a Nazi or a Kohen Gadol, you can be Metame to his parents if they're Mitzrayim or they're Zavim. But what do I need? La'avi with the emo, Rabbi Akiva learns that you're Metame for Meit Mitzvah. But once I know from the Pesukim by a Nazir that the Kohen Gadol can be Metame to a Meit Mitzvah, what do I need la'aviv l'imo by the Kohen? What do those words teach me? La'aviv l'imo. So imo, I know I have to hold on to the Gzeir Shava. What does aviv teach me? So the Gemara says, and then Tadam and Aleph. So the Gemara says, So la'aviv l'imo lamali. So the Gemara says shrichi. So Rabbi Akiva is going to say, I need both those terms. Yikatav aviv, if the Torah would have only written by the Kohen Gadol that he cannot be metame to his father, I would have thought the father, who knows who's whose father? There's a presumption that a man, you know, the putative father is the father. That's like a presumption. About Imo, Yadin. So I would say, yeah, if his father died, if he only wrote Aviv, I would say he can't be metame to his father, because who knows if he's really his father, 100%. About Imo, Yadin, but the mother, that he could be metame, there's no doubt that the mother who gave birth to him. The Ikatav Rahmana Imo, and if the Torah would only write the mother, not the father, that the Kohen Gadol cannot be metame to the mother, Havamina Imo, the Litami law, that he shouldn't be metame to his mother, to love Azil Zara Batra, because the yichus is not traced after the mother. About Aviv, but the father, the Torah teaches me, yichus follows the father. I would have thought that you've been talking to the father. Now, so the Gemara says, according to the time of Rabbi Akiva, I need the terms, one second, I need the terms of Aviv Imo by the Kohen Gadol, because if I have one term or the other term, I would have a svara to say, you know, the other way with this. What do you want to say? Are you okay? Okay, we're good. Now, somebody said to me in the base medrash today like this. This is a question. That's what's nice learning the base medrash. People have different Torah. So when the person said to me, his name is Roey. I don't remember his last name, but I think he was quoted in this other fellow, Sasha Shlomanov. The Gra that asked like this, with the father. With the father, I would think maybe it's not the father. In other words, if the Torah would say, right, but either way, then it would come out that he should be able to mentame the Gra asked. In other words, if it's really his father, so then the father's a Kohen, he's a Kohen, and then he'll be mentame to the father. If the father is not really the father, then he's not a Kohen, and certainly he can be mentame to the person. You got it? In other words, we're saying the Pesach, if he's a, they're talking about the Kohen Gadol. Let's go back. He's a Kohen Gadol. His father dies. So the Gemara says that if I would just write the mother, I would say the mother, yeah, I know the mother, he's definitely gave birth. But the father is just a presumption that he's the father. So I wouldn't know that he should be metame to him. So the Gemara says, but either way you flip it, he should be metame to the father. Because if it's really his father, Wait.
When you're saying metame to the father, are you talking about Sarat or me?
Well, give me one second.
Because if there's a doubt about...
Give me one second, ladies, 1 second.
Lady.
1 minute. Let's go the other way around. If the Torah just wrote La Aviv, right. In other words, if the Torah just said La Aviv, I would say it's a presumption he does not metame to the person, because the presumptively that's his father. All right, I need to go over this again. Okay, all right. Who's got questions? Comes to us. Anything I did so far?
When you say that. He's metame to the av or the aim. Are you talking about?
No, he can't. If he's a Kohen Gadol, he can't be metame to either one.
Right. So are you talking about Sarat and Zav?
No. Something else. But I have to clarify it. Okay.
Okay.
I get it.
All right. Okay. Everybody good? Okay. Now tonight again. So I spoke earlier. Tomorrow night, Lee Netter, I want to give the daf at 7:25 p.m. because they have that meeting at 8:00, and I want to do like an amud into tomorrow's daf tonight. Okay. Everybody got it? And Billy Netter, I'll send out an email tomorrow with that. All right. Now, let's go further than the Gemara.
Rabbi, now, quick question.
Yeah.
Isn't it a big insult to our mothers to come and say you're not certain who the father is?
Yeah. Well, that's not an insult to the mother. It's an insult to the father. But the mothers are okay with it.
I mean, we know who the mother is. If you say that's not the father, anyway, that means the mother was
Mezaneh. Just saying, it's a practical matter. Like, you know, like that you know for the sure, you know the 100% certainty who the mother is, and then the father is this presumption that's the father. Okay, so now you know Lahavdil, but I remember seeing the same idea in Homer, in I think in the Odyssey, he has the same idea, Lahavdil. But the Gemara also has this in Masechet Chulin. Okay, now back on the Gemara. Now the Gemara goes back to quoting a pasuk about the Kohen Gadol. So he says, "V'al kol nafshot meit lo yavo." Similar pasukim by both of them. In other words, by the Nazir, it says "Al nefesh meit lo yavo" is what it says by the Nazir, but by the Kohen Gadol, it says "V'al kol nafshot meit lo yavo." So lamali. So what do we need that pasuk? Meaning, I already know. Listen to things. So the Gemara says, let's read further. "Al kol nafshot meit lo yavo." Lamali. So "Al kol la puki rechokin." So "Al kol" tells me that the Kohen Gadol can't be mitame to, you know, people who aren't close relatives. "May la puke krovim." "May" means even for the close relatives can't be mitame. "Nafsho la puke reviyat dam." "Nafsho sheyatsam shnei meitim shemitame ba'ol." Let's say that reviyat dam, a quarter log of dam, so the Kohen Gadol cannot enter a house with this reviyat dam because it's kumasohel. Shenemar kol nafsho meit lo yavo. But the key is that he has the Ikar Limud, he has from the introductory Pasuk, so that the other terms are open for Limudim. The other terms are open for Limudim. Okay, so I think that covers that piece. Now let's go further. Okay, line 4 on Mem Terem Days. So Manitin, Aleilu Tumod Hanazir Megaleach. So the following Tumod, the Nazir is Megaleach, meaning if the Nazir becomes Tame from any of the following, that destroys his Nazirus, and he has to take Tiglachat, and then bring the korbanot, like a Nazir becomes Tamei. Now we said already that it's not every Tuma, right? Saras and Zav is a zero for the Nazir. He said, "Al Tuma Nazir Megaleach Al Hameit." So if he comes into contact with a dead body, that does it. Yal Kizayit Menabeit. Or even if it's a Kizayit of flesh from a cadaver, a dead person. Now the Gemara is going to ask, if I know Kizayit Menabeit, I certainly know the mate. The Gemara is going to ask why I need both terms. Yeah, exactly. Med is a dead body, and Kizayit Menameid is a Kizayis of flesh from the dead body. Yeah, Kizayit Netzel. Kizayit Netzel. Netzel is like a liquid that oozes from the body and congeals. It's Netzel. So he says here, V'amalo tarvad rekev, and then a ladle full of corpse dust also be mitame. Al hashidra v'ilgulgolet. Let's say just the spine and the skull, that's like the rove binyan. As the rove binyan, in other words, if most of like the structure of a person, so the gulgolet and shidra does it. Yal aver min amed, if there's an aver from a dead person. So aver min amed means like even if there's like a whole limb, like an arm, you know, from a dead body, even if there's no flesh left on the arm, so he has to, and he comes to contact with it. Yes, that breaks his nazirus and his tame. So the aver, no, if it's complete aver, not. And he says, "Vel aver menachai shishla basar karui." If it's aver menachai, if it's an aver from a living person, that can also give him tuma. If there's enough flesh on it that, if it were attached, it could regenerate, even if it's less than a kizayis. That's the way the Chazal take it. "Vel chatzi kava atzamot." If it is half a kav of bones, that also can, you know, destroy his nazirus. V'yachatsi log dam. Now, here's a little tricky. Like, in other words, for tuma, is revius dam, is tuma sohel. So is this kind of like a little strange quirk? So the nazir could really, in essence, if he walks into a home with a revius dam, which he shouldn't do, he'd be tamei made, but it wouldn't destroy his nazirus. But if it's a chatsi log dam, instead of, in other words, like revius log is like the amount for kiddush. Let's just say it's for hypothetically 5 fluid ounces. So that would be revius. And a chatsi log would be 10 fluid ounces, you know, rounding it off roughly with different levels of chitot. So it means in order to destroy his nazirus, the requirement to do the shave and bring the korban on the house to be a chatsi log dam. Yal maga'an, yal masa'an, yal ahilan. So here the Tana adds on that with all of the foregoing, if you touch any of the items, yes. If you carry, even though you don't touch it, yal ahilan, you're in the same ohel, or it's on top of you, or you're leaning over it, that would be ohel. Yel etzem kisaora, now a bone the size of a barley seed, amaga obi amaso. So that's tumas maga and tumas masa with bone the size of a barley seed. Al elu hanazir megaleach, for the foregoing, the nazir has to do a giluach, he does the shave on the head, umazeh b'shlishi b'shri'i, and he gets sprinkled with the water and the ashes of the paraduma on day 3 and day 7. B'soter ha-kodmin, it destroys all the earlier times observed up till now. Veinu machil note ela ad shi'atar, he doesn't begin counting the new count until he's tahor, levi korban otav, and he brings his korban. Now, Tosho says that those words, levi korban otav, should be out of here, because Gemara later on has a question, when does the Nazir begin his new count? And the Gemara, one second, let me look at Tosho for 1 second. So the Tosos Dibur Machlu Mazeh says that this is like the 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth Tosos from the bottom says he's not goris in the Mishnah of Yavi Korban Otav, because it seems from the Gemara that 1 second, the Gemara asks, you know, when do you begin counting? 1 second, let's say word here. 1 second. Yeah, right. So on Daftan Dalit, this is in footnote 18, the Gemara considers the possibility the count resumes the conclusion of the seventh day of Tara, even before the Korban are offered. Obviously, an explanation wouldn't fit in if we have those words in there. So Tosa says those last words are out. Okay, who's had questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, Yosef's got a question. Go ahead. Right. No. So it means like this. First of all, again, you're talking about different things. So
can we hear it? Okay.
He's asking between the difference between chatzikav atzamot and etzem kisaora. Etzem is the size of a barley seed, and then it says a half a kav of bones. So we just said, remember, if it's a half a kav, there's tumas ohel involved with a half a kav. Where there's a tumas ohel. With the etzem kisaora, it's only tumas magan masa. Again, the etzem kisaora, bone the size of a barley seed, does not give tumas ohel. So if there's an etzem kisaora on the table and he walks in, there's no harm, no foul. If it's, or he does either one of them. But with the half a cup of bones, ohel and magabasa. But okay. All right. Everybody good? Okay. Now I'm going to move on. Okay. Now we're on the fifth line on Mem Tetum Beis. Okay. Everybody think? Okay. So Tana Rabbanan, we learned the Braisa. A harp tiratosher of Meir, after the death of the Tana Reb Meir, Amar lahen Reb Yehuda Tamidav. Reb Yehuda said to his own Talmidim, and again, Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda are bar pluktas throughout Shas. He says, Al yikansu Tamid Reb Meir lekan. I don't want any of the Talmidim of Reb Meir in my base medrash. Reb Meir kan tarani. They're very vexatious. They take the kishas out of everybody. Below, lemo Torah hin bayim. They don't come to really study Torah. El lekapcheni b'halakot. They just want to torment me with different halakot. But notwithstanding the foregoing, Sumchus, who is the Talmid of Reb Meir, he pushed his way into Reb Yehuda's base medrash. Amar lahem, and he, Sumchus, said, "Kachshanali Reb Meir. This is what Reb Meir taught me. Alelu tumot anazir megaleya, alamei yal kazayit menamei. That he taught me that a nazir gets giluach. Well, the only thing it is, but it isn't. I'll explain in a minute. You see, our Mishnah was codified by Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, who lived afterwards. But before Rebbe, there was Rebbe Yehuda was the Talmud of Reb Meir. Reb Meir was the Talmud of Rebbe Akiva. So there was like a type of, you know, Mishnah that was, like, you know, like formulated, but, you know, Reb Meir eventually, you know, codified it. So, but the version of the Mishnah that was taught by Rebbe Meir was the same as our Mishnah here. So it says, so he says, so he said that the Nazir is metame for a maid, a cadaver, and kazayim and a maid. So ka'as Rabbi Yehuda, Sir Rabbi Yehuda, when he heard this, got angry, the Amar Lahen, and said to the people, didn't I tell you, I don't want any tamidim from mayor in my base medrash, because they just take the kishkas out of everybody. If the Tana of the Mishnah teaches me
for kizayit min amei, the nazir has to do it right. Alamei lo koshkein. So certainly the maid, he has to do it. I was saying that's what the Gemara has. So now the top line of Nun Amud Aleph, going into tomorrow's daf, and I want to get through the Amud today, and then Bli Neder tomorrow night, we're at 7:25. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, so there's a third Tanur. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Yom Ru Meir Shachav. People will say that Rameir died. Yehuda Kas, Rabbi Yehuda got angry, and Yossi Shatak, and Rabbi Yossi was silent. Torah Mateles. So what's going to happen? Like it's like this, sort of like a Mexican standoff. So Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, "Lo nitzracha." Rabbi Yossi is answering the question. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Lo nitzracha elamech ein lav zay basar. So Rabbi Yossi says, "Look, sometimes you can have a mate. Presumably, it's like a skeleton, but there's no zay basar. I don't know. Maybe skin and bones. I don't know if the skin counts as basar. So let's say you have a cadaver, just skin and bones, and the basar has you know decomposed. So he says, so kizayis men amate." Means there's a kizayis of flesh. So the whole mace is teaching me that even if I have the whole mace and there's no flesh left there anymore, that it's metame. All right, 1 minute, let's be patient. Now, so the Gemara says on line 4, Vadain Yomar, but even assuming arguendo that would be the pshat of the Mishnah, Vadain Yomar, even a Megaleach, you could still ask, look, the Mishnah says that he has to be Megaleach for an aver of the mate. Now, an aver min amate can even be just the bones of an aver. So, so if for one aver of a mate, the nazir has to do giluach, so certainly for the whole body. So again, why does he have the whole body? If it's flesh, so kezias. And even for an aver, he has to do it. So certainly the whole body. Ella, so now the Gemara has a different answer to our question. Ella, to the Amar of Yochanan. So the Gemara quotes a statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan makes this statement in reference to a Mishnah Masechet Ahalot, but we want to use his answer and apply it here. El to the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo nitzrachel nefel, lo nekashu evra b'gidin. So it's necessary for a nefel, it's like an embryo, presumably that like was aborted, you know what I mean? Like it could be a natural abortion, you know, from the woman, and it's a very small embryo, and there's not a kezias basar on it. And it's low, and in low nitashu begidin. Begidin could be the sinews, it could even be like the blood vessels, things like that. Everything has informed around it. So I have the whole body, it's a small whole body, but the whole body contains less than the kazayat basar. So that's what he says. The hakanami menefo shonash kashu evara begidin. So too, I can say the pshat in the Mishnah is, so when the Mishnah, the Mishnah says in the first line, al hamet, he means, if it's like the small embryo, it's a whole body, but it's like the size of the hand or whatever, something like that. And there's not a kazayis basar on it, it's metame. So now that's one answer. Now, Rava Amar, that's answer A. Answer B, Rava Amar, lo nitzrafa, lo binyano, she'im behem, rova atzamo. So Rava says, this is a little bit like what you were asking, we're about to ask. You could have rov binyano. Now, rov binyano means if you have like the thigh bone and I think two of the shin bones, you know, that's rov binyano. It's like most of the height of the person, even though it's not less than a quarter kav of bone. In other words, I don't know, you know, as you measure the bone, the mass of the bone is less than a quarter kav. Ula rov binyano, she'en behen roba atamot. Or rov binyano, so the way Chazal calculated out that, how many bones, I'll say in a minute, not the way
248, right?
Yeah, right. So because I'll take it right that there's 248 bones in the skeleton, so 125 bones. So if there would be 125 bones, that would be rove minion, even though the 125 bones might have less than a quarter kav. So that would be the way that would work. So in other words, so when the Gemara is, so answer number two, yes. When the Mishnah says al hamet, it means either the rov binyan of a mate.
125.
No. Rov binyan. There's rov binyan and rov binyan. Rov binyan is like
the leg and the shin.
Most of the structure. So most of the structure is like a thigh bone, a shin bone, and another shin bone. So those three bones might have less than a quarter kav of bone, but it's rov binyan. That's matame. Or rov minyan. Or it means that there's most of the bones of the body. But it could be less than a quarter kav. He's got like a lot of small bones in the foot and the fingers and things like that. How many bones do doctors tell us there are? And you don't know. All right.
Okay. I remember learning the bones were like Ramach Shasaf, for the Lavin and the Asay.
Right. That's your thing. But I meant like, you know, how much the doctors hold that they have with the bones. All right. You have to go now or not?
Depends all if right. they're...
Toodles. Okay, so Belina, we'll see you. I'll continue on with the Gemara. One of our members here is leaving. And then I'll see you tomorrow night at 7:25. Okay, let's keep moving. Okay, so now we're at the two dots.
Can you explain before you go on what this whole business in the beginning that you're taking my kishkas, what did that bring to the party? Why did I need to know about this machloket between them that got a little, you know, not so nice?
Well, so the way Tosfos says, the kapteini b'halacha l'tzareini, that Rabbi Yehuda was machpi, it was machpi, that I guess, in other words, the simple pshat would be that a person shouldn't learn Torah to torment somebody. That's the simple pshat. In other words, Chazal teach us that you should learn Torah l'shma, but mitosh shelo l'shma ba'al l'shma. If you learn for insincere purposes, that will get you on the road. But if you're learning the kantir l'kapeach, you're learning to torment somebody, that's an exception to the rule. So even though we normally say, but it's like Hantir the Kape, you wouldn't say that. Now, whether that was
was it the case?
Well, that's the way that Rabbi Yehuda took it with them, that's what they were, you know, intending. But that's all I have with that. All right.
Yeah, but to see to the what extent they take offense at something to the point that he's practically pushed out of the room, it's really quite a revelation about their interplay and their behaviors, and it's really quite remarkable to watch this.
All right. I have a little note from our sponsor. I'll do a note from the sponsor, and then we'll do more in the bar. All right. This is from the Al Hadad. We said about the Rove Binyan, Rove Minyan. If a Nazir contracts Korp Tum in the middle of his term, the Naziris is already cast or negated, and before restarting the Naziris term, some of the Tara. Okay, and then the Gemara, we went through the whole Gemara. Now, Tosos notes that whereas our Mishnah lists a chatzi logdam and a chatzi kav atzamot, a half a log kav bones, and a half log blood, as the shear necessary to render Nazir Tameh and require him to shave his head and restart his term, the Mishnah in the second parak of Alot states, rova kav atzamot and rova logdam is sufficient to render a person Tameh. I think we covered this. Tosos explains that the source of these different shiurim is Halacha Moshe Sinai, which teaches that even though a person who comes in contact with a quarter log of blood from a corpse is Tameh, a Nazir is not obligated to shave his head unless he comes in contact with a half log of blood. Alternatively, the Rambam writes that the Shurim listed in our Mishnah are Minat Torah, whereas the smaller Shurim listed in Alot are the Rabbanon, and are therefore not sufficient to obligate a Nazir to shave his head, requiring to offer an extra set of Korbanot. So it either means the quarter Kav and the quarter log is either Din of Durabana, and certainly it's not enough to cause him to shave his head, or it might be Duraisa, but he's not obligated. Now, Rabba says that if a Nazir comes in contact with bones that comprise Rov Binyan or Rov Minyan, more than 50% of the skeletal frame, more than 50% of the total number of a person's bones, he's obligated to shave, etc., even if the bones do not total a quarter kav. Rashi indicates that this law is limited to Nazir and does not apply to the general law of Tumah, where the required shear is always a quarter kav, even if the bones comprise a row of binyan or a row of binyan. So the way that Rashi's coming out, in other words, here by the Nazir, we see a special din, a row of binyan and row of binyan. And that's a nice term. It's used oftentimes, in a more general sense, like you have row of binyan, row of binyan, you know, it's like the essence of people or whatever was going on. Anyway, so the... But it's only Rashi here, Rashi/the Mefarish, is saying that's only done by Nazir, but not a general law in Tumah. Intriguing halach emerges from the words of Rashi. If a Nazir comes in contact with less than a quarter kav of bones, he's not tamei with regard to eating truma and entering the base of Mikdash, even though the bones comprise row of binyan or row of binyan. In other words, the row of binyan and row of binyan is a halacha that's limited to the Nazir and has no implication elsewhere, it sounds like. Nevertheless, based on Lach Moshe Mishinai, his nearest count is canceled, and he's obligated to purify himself, shave his head, nor for a korbano, even though he's not Tamei with regard to the laws of the Torah. A similar chiddush is proposed by the Meiri with regard to Melot Tarvad Rekev, which is one of the items that convey Tumah an obligated nazir to restart his naziris. The Mishnah Alot says the spoonful of reket, corpse dust, transmits tuma only via masa va'ohel, touching and being in the same roof, but not via maga. The Rambam explains that since the particles of corpse dust are not connected, each particle is considered a separate entity and is impossible for one to touch an entire spoonful of reket simultaneously. Therefore, this type of tuma can only be transmitted via masa va'ohel, carrying it, or you're in the same roof, you know. Or he says, the Meiri notes that our Mishnah is below Parvat Rekev, among the items which transmit Tumah to a Nazir, even by a Maga, by touching it. Therefore, suggests the laws of Nazir have different guidelines than ordinary Tumah. Perhaps a Nazir who touches a spoonful of Rekev must undergo purification, shave his head, and restart his Naziris, even though he's not Tameh with regard to other laws. So it comes out that you could be Tameh under the Dinim of Naziris. Like, in other words, you came into contact or in the same ohel rov minion or rov binyan of a cadaver, but you're not tummy for other dinim. You could still eat truma if he was a kohen. And then similarly, you know, you could have tumas ohel will no tarvid rekev and just by nazir, not by other dinim. All right, let's get back to the Gemara. So now we're around 10 lines down on Nun Amid Aleph at the two dots. Al Kazayit Nadel, Al Kazayit Netzel. So we said in the Mishnah that a nazir has to shave his head, he's tameh, if he comes into contact with kazayis menameit, like an olive size of flesh from the cadaver, val kazayit netzel. Netzel is like fluids that came from the body and then congealed, in other words, the body was decomposing, so that also. Now, the Gemara says, the ezu netzel, what exactly is netzel, which we just referred to a moment ago, the tsar hamet shekarash. So the Gemara says, if the in other words, it came from the flesh of the body, and then it congealed. That's netzel. Then umoel shehetia. Now, if it's in the liquid form, and you would boil it, and it would bubble, that's a litmus test that that's netzel, as opposed to, let's say you have saliva, the Gemara takes it, and mucus, the Gemara takes it, would not boil. So hechidami, ilim yodinim didehu. The Gemara says, what's the case that the Gemara is addressing. In other words, if we don't know that this fluid came from the flesh, so kikarash mayhavi, what difference if it congealed? We think right now in the Havamina that whether it's the, in other words, we're interested in the flesh that decomposed and then became sort of liquidy and then congealed. But there are other body fluids like saliva and mucus, you know, that also but wouldn't be netzel, wouldn't give the tumor. So we think right now in the Havamina that they all are susceptible to congealing. So the fact that it congeals, what would that do? Ella yadina didehu. So it must be that we do know that it came from the flesh. So avogav lo parash. So then what difference does it make if it congealed or not? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says, bistam, we're talking about, we don't know where the fluid came from. In other words, we don't know if the fluid is a result of the flesh putrefying. We don't know if the fluid came from, let's say, the saliva or the mucus. He says, ikarash moahu. So the Gemara now shifts gears and says, if it congeals, that means that it came from the flesh. It's moel. That's netzel. Lo karash, if it didn't congeal, then dilma kicho b'niohu. Then it might be his phlegm, his saliva, things like that. Okay, so now the Gemara says, bayimine abayimine rabba. Abaye posed the following question to Rabbah. Rabbah, we know, was his uncle and his Rebbe. Ish netzel behemo, ein netzel behemo. Now, we know a behema could be a nevela. In other words, if an animal dies, so, you know, you take a cow, you shoot the cow, and it's dead, so it's a nevela. Nevela is an av hatuma. So now, what if there are, like, fluids that come from that body and then congeal, or does that have the same din of netzel that it could be an av hatuma? Now, that doesn't mean for the dinim of nazir, right? The nazir is only tumas made. It doesn't mean dead animal. But for other dinim of tuma, in other words, if a person comes into contact with a nevela, so he's tame. So if he comes into contact with netzel, would he also be tame? So he says, yish netzel behema lay netzel behema. Miyam rinan, and here the Bach has, he gemiri netzel da atmi adam. Do we say, the Torah Shabbat Peh teaches me that only netzel that comes from a human gives forth tuma? About the Aki b'mehimalo, that which comes from an animal does not give the tuma, or dimalo shna, or maybe it doesn't make a difference either way. So the Gemara says, Hanichalamanda amar tuma chamura ad bager,
Betumakala of the Kelev Shapir. So the Gemara, welcome. Okay, welcome, Daniel. So we're around eight lines from the bottom on Nun Amud Aleph. Okay. Now, there's a machloket in the Gemara. Tuma Chamura means like a nevela. So tuman, so means to have a din of nevela, according to the first opinion, is ad lager. The nevela has to be ru'i for the ger to eat it. It says the Torah says, lo tokal kol nevela, don't eat any nevela. Lagera shibasharechatin and avachala. Give it to the ger, it means he's a non-Jew who's observing Shem Mitzvot Bnei Noach. That's what it means by ger. So give it to the non-Jew and let him eat. Lagera shibasharechatin and avachala. So according to the first opinion, Tuma Chamura is ad lager. Tuma Chamura means it only has Tuma Chamura, it only has that of Dinah Vela, if it's something that's Ra'ui for the ger to eat it. So I take my gun, I shoot the cow is in a Vela, so the ger could eat it, you know, or cook it or whatever. But once it begins to putrefy and he would not eat it, it doesn't give forth Tuma. The Tuma Kala ad lakela. Tuma Kala means if a food item received Tuma from something else. And then that until it's not edible by a dog. So he says, so we're focusing on the first thing, the Tuma Chamura is an Avela, so Shapir. So once I say, that's all by definition, something began to putrefy and then congealed. So if I say it has to be Ru'i for the Ger in order to have Tumas Avela, so obviously then there would not be Tumas Netzel from an animal because the Netzel would not be Ru'i to be eaten by the Ger. And Mamela, then it wouldn't give off Tumas. That's the end of our inquiry if we assume that way. So shop here. Ella, six lines from the bottom on Nunamad Aleph. Ella Mandamar Tuma Kamura on the Kelev, Ma'it Lamebar. But according to the other opinion, Tuma Kamura, which is a Nevela, as long as the Nevela is edible by a dog, it has Tumas Nevela. So then we have to inquire, what about the din of a Netzel? In other words, so I have the dead cow and it's putrefying. So the flesh, according to one opinion, still gives off Tuma until the dog would not eat it, but the dog will eat a lot. But what about the Netzel? So Tashima. So we're going to try to bring a proof from the following Raisa. Himchu Ba'or, it's talking about a bird, the fat of the bird. If they like dissolved it in the heat, they heated it, the fat of the bird up in the fire, so it's Tame. So in other words, if I take the dead bird and I heat up the fat, so that's still tame, that doesn't do anything. But bechama tahor. But if the fat of the bird was heated up in the sun, it's tahor. So we think it means that the fat began to putrefy in the sun, and the Tana of the Bryce is telling me it's tahor. So and the fat would be like netzel, it's like liquid that you know, like it liquefied, and then it would be tahor. The Esau Kadaitas Ad Lekelev, so if you would assume that that the halakha is like the Manda Amar that says the Tumas Nevela is even if it's, you know, Ad Lekelev, Afil Bechama Nami. So I would think that even Bechama, in other words, here we're talking about the fat. The fat is liquefying. The fat is going to be Netzel if it's eligible to be Netzel. And we had the question, is there Netzel in the animal kingdom? You know, by here's a bird. So if he heats up this fat from this bird and he heats it up in the sun, we think that it's putrefying, and nevertheless, Tana Mishnah says it's tahor. So if I assume that this Tana agrees with this opinion that Tumas Nevela is ad b'kelev, so it's going to be eaten by a dog, afilu b'chamanami. So I would have thought that even if it's heated up by the sun, that it should give Tuma, but we see it doesn't give Tuma. So that's a raya that even according to that Manda Amar, Netzel does not transmit Tuma, we think. So the Gemara says, Eimat Mam Chilei, when does he dissolve it? Batar de Isruach Bechama, after it becomes putrefied in the sun, came into Asrach Habalei Afar. The Gemara said, no, if it's putrefying in the sun, it's not even Ru'i for the Kelah. It's less than that, so it's like dirt. So it's not Mukhrach from here, how that opinion would hold, with the Netzel for the animal. Okay, now let me just do some sheets, and then this will be it for tonight, and then we'll see where we go. All right? Now, let me do here. One second. All right, this we have about the Nafel. This we have...
Is the class in the Beis Medrash tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night I'll be in the Beis Medrash, yeah.
in the Mincha Maariv is 6:45, so I figure they'll be out by 7:20, and we'll begin at 7:25. All right. I could read this one. Okay, let me do this one first. What?
Tomorrow to the
8. Tomorrow, 7:25 p.m.
Until 8.
Until 5 to 8. Okay? Now the Rambam rules that a stillborn transmits tumah by means of touching, carrying, or an ohel, even if its limbs were not yet bound together. The Mishnah Lamelech writes that if the fetus was less than 40 days from conception, is not halachically a stillborn in Eifel, and will not transmit tumah. He cites support for this position from a Mishnah in Ahalot that says that one does not have to be concerned about the presence of a buried stillborn in a house occupied by an idolater if you live there less than 40 days. This implies that if there was a miscarriage that occurred when the fetus was less than 40 days, it would not transmit tumah. The Noda Behuda was asked whether a stillborn needs to have a well-formed face and limbs in order to transmit tumah by means of an ohel, or perhaps even if the fetus has no clearly defined form, it's necessary for a kohen to be strict and avoid being under the same roof as the stillborn. The Noda Behuda expressed astonishment at the question, since the Rambam rules explicitly that a stillborn transmits tumah means of ohel, even if limbs are not yet bound together by sinews. The only point that requires clarification is whether it's necessary for the limbs of the fetus to take shape, rikum evarim, because this matter is not addressed by the Rambam. He cites, however, the ruling of the Mishnah Melech and notes that within 40 days, it is possible for the limbs of the fetus to take shape. Consequently, since we are not experienced to know what constitutes limbs taking shape, a kohen would be required to avoid being in the same ohel as a stillborn that was more than 40 days old. All right, the Achiezer also ruled that a stillborn less than 40 days old is not considered a stillborn that transmits the tumor means at all. Okay, that's with the 40 days. Now,
isn't under 40 days Maya to Alma anyway?
Right, that's what they talk about. If it's less than 40 days, right, then that's what they're saying. It's not halachically an AFL if it's less than 40 days old. That's the basic idea we're saying. Okay, now Chalav Hameit Shalem. Okay, skip this. Let's see this one. Okay, here's a story about the You asked me about these Talmidim from Rabbi Meir. On today's daf, we find that Rabbi Yehuda told the students not to allow the students of Rabbi Meir in the base medrash. They are kantaranin. And I think contrarian might be connected to the word cantankerous. I'm not sure, but
contrarians. I thought.
Oh, I don't know. He says they are contrarian who only wish to refute me in halacha. The Aruch explains the word kanter here is anger. It is possible to learn that Rabbi Yehuda didn't want them to enter the base medrash because he was afraid they would anger him. Okay, now he tells an interesting story. So the point of that shot is different than what I said before. He was afraid they're going to get him angry. He doesn't want to get angry. Now, Rav Shalom Shwadron tells the following amazing story. So Rav Shwadron was the Magid of Yerushalayim. I assume there's two Rav Shalom Shwadrons. His grandfather was also Rav Shalom Shwadron. Anyway, once, while I was discussing a certain Torah topic with Rav Chaim Hirschler Zitzal in Shul, some children made an excessive amount of noise and disturbed us. He asked me to go outside and convince them to either play more quietly or relocate to somewhere else. I knew he was always very unassuming, never asked others to do what he could do himself. So I asked him, why don't you do this yourself? Rav Shalom continued, his answer to me was a big surprise. I have a temper, so I'm afraid if I ask them myself, I will get angry at them. I have no choice but to request this favor from you. When I saw my brother-in-law, Rav Shalom Zalman Auerbach Zitzal, I expressed my confusion to him. I have never seen Rav Chaim get upset with anyone. And everyone knows him to be a very easygoing and patient person. Why was he so afraid that the children would get him angry? Rav Shlomo Zalman answered, actually, when he was very young, he was known to have a rather keen temper. His present mellowness is the result of decades of dedicated work to master this tendency. Today, no one would even know that he once had a problem with anger. Rav Shlomo Zalman concluded, I am truly amazed at him. Even after all these years of toil on this characteristic, he's still afraid of losing his temper. So, like, you know, you have to work at, you know, losing the temper. But the idea is that in the Mishnah, the Gemara, that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda was afraid that they would get him angry. All right.
Now, I used to drive him.
What did you want to say, Aaron Moshe?
I used to drive him and my brother to the airport. They used to go to Eretz Yisrael together, back and forth.
You used to drive Rav Shwadron, and who else?
Shalom Shwadron. Used to go with my brother, Oliver Shalom, back and forth.
And you would drive them to the airport?
Yes, and he would tell us different
That's tremendous.
And he would always give a lineage. He would say, Yechabeskeed from Rebellia, meaning Rebellia Laplan. He used to say, Yechabeskeed from Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. Yechabeskeed from Abzindel, from Abzindel Salant. And then he would say, Yechabeskeed from Abchaim Velojan Alain. He would talk in a very deep voice. And he would, give, he would give you a different story.
Did he ever lose his temper?
He no, because I never got lost. I never got lost on the way to the airport, so he never lost his temper.
Lucky you.
He told us once a story about a boy who came to the Beis Medrash at night when Chaim Velozhin met him at the entrance to the Beis Medrash. The boy wasn't alive anymore. So Chaim Velozhin says to him, "Was Tishtig, what are you doing here?" He says, "Ich bin schuldig sieben Piaster in der Chsanya, weil die Frau was gewohnt, and was gegeben zu Chaim Moshe. Chaim Moshe forgot." In other words, in English, the story is he owed 7 pennies to the house Frau where he was sleeping at night, and he had given the 7 pennies to his chavrusa to give to her. But the chavrusa forgot to give to her. So Reb Chaim Velozhin said to him, "Lech b'shalom." To a dead person, you say with a base, "Lech b'shalom." Go, I'll take care of it. And the kid vanished, and Reb Chaim Velozhin paid the 7 cents. So then he turns around to my brother. He says, "Eis Reb Yisrael Shaya, if the zibim piyasta, lot v'nishtarayin at tzaddik gomo in Gan Eden." Over 7 pennies, they don't let a tzaddik in Gan Eden. You don't have to be still 50 billion like Madoff. 7 pennies. They don't let a tzaddik gomo in Gan Eden. That was the story.
You had a big zechus, you, Arthur.
I have other stories from him.
So wait, Arthur, in that story, anyway, I didn't get the story, Arthur. Somebody owed the 7 cents. So what happened? So Reb Chaim said he's going to pay off the 7 cents.
Reb Chaim Velozhin told the person who was dead already, the kid. He says, "Lech right. B'shalom." He says, "I'll take care of it." But the moral of the story is over 7 cents. Even though he had given the 7 cents to pay, they don't let that tzaddik gomo in Gan Eden.
All right, now. All right, one second. All right, I have another piece of Torah here that I can say over for 1 or 2 minutes, and we'll see where we go with this. All right, there's a this is going back on the earlier Gemara. We'll just do it for a minute or two, and we'll see where we go with this. All right, we had all the dealing with the Kohen Gadol and everybody else. All right, let's see. All right, this I think is the question that I was raising here. Right, so Tosfos remarks, same question applies to the passage regarding the Kohen Gadol. Why must the Pasuk in Vayikra spell that a Kohen Gadol may not define himself for his father and mother? So the Gemara, in contrast, in answer to this question, explains, in contrast to paternity, which is not difficult to verify, paternity is generally impossible to confirm with certainty. If the Pasuk had not mentioned the Kohen Gadol or Nazir may not defile himself for his mother's burial, we'd have thought the prohibition is limited to a father, because it's based on speculation that the deceased man is perhaps not the Kohen Gadol's biological father. Now, the Rosh Mishnah's questions why uncertainty regarding the mother's fidelity is reason to forbid the son from attending his presumed father's burial. In the event that the boy was fathered by a strange man, this is what I was quoting from the Grah before.
Right.
So in the event that the boy was fathered by a strange man, he would not be a Kohen, and he would be permitted to defile himself to anyone he chooses. Moreover, even if there are grounds to suspect the mother committed adultery with a Kohen, prohibiting defilement would not apply to her son, because the laws of privilege of the priesthood are not consigned to the son of a Kohen conceived in sin. So wait a second. So he's saying like this. Wait a minute. Regarding the mother's fidelity. The deceased husband would not be the son of father's funeral. So one second. Right. So, let's go back. So the Torah is saying that a Kohen can't go to his father's funeral, even though we can't establish with 100% certainty that that's his father. That's what we're saying. So he can't go to the father's funeral, even though we can't establish with 100% certainty that that's the way it is.
I don't think
so. He says, now, he says like this. So the question is, though, if he's fathered by a strange man, he's not a Kohen, he would be permitted to be Matame to anybody he wants. So that's part of what he's asking. In other words, if
the exception is only if it's not his father, then he's allowed. And since the paternity is of question, because he doesn't know if it's his father, then he's allowed.
Wait. So how are you saying this? Go ahead. If
it is his father, he's not allowed. If he's sure that it's his father, then he's not allowed to be tamei. But if the paternity, if the father is not for sure his, then there's a possibility that it's not his father, in which case he's allowed.
He's not a Kohen. Right. That we said. But the thing is
But why would he go if it's not his father?
In other words, this is the man he assumes to be his father. But so what's saying? Let's go back. He says, that's not to find himself with the burial of his parent. Right.
Father's
mother is likewise for him. Right.
It's not his father. There's a question of if it is his father.
Okay. So it means like this. If the Torah would have only said that he can't defile himself for the father, so I would have thought he can't defile himself to the father because it's based on speculation that maybe he's not really his father, right? Okay, here's the way he's coming at it. So in other words, if the Torah would only say that Kohen cannot be metame to the father, I would have thought the reason that the Torah says only by the father is because we're not sure that it's the father, therefore he can't be metame to the father. But if we know the mother, then we know that he can't be metame, but if the Torah would only say that he can't be metame to the father, I would think the mother he could, because he knows for sure it's the mother. So if the Torah would only say with the father, so then I would think that it's that the reason is because he suspects that's why he can't be metame. So wait, so he's asking though that, all right, I have to end the rant. Okay, I'm going to see everybody tomorrow night, Blee Netter. Let me end the recording.